morning, church. It is a pleasure, a joy, a privilege to be able to share the Word of God with you today. I'd like for us to first take a look at where we have been in this series on spiritual practices. January, we got like a basic overview of the way of Jesus. February, we dove into prayer. Then Sabbath, secrecy and confession, solitude and silence. And today I'm going to be sharing the second sermon in this series for listening and discernment. But I'd like to first start with a video for you to watch. I'm not sure if it will resonate with you or not. I am suspecting that it probably will. So join me in watching this video together.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
No, see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out... See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on, if you would just-
Don't! Try to see things my way.
All right, I just truly, it honestly, second time I've even shown it in a service and I still have tears. I just think it's so funny. The sweater comment about that her sweaters are all snagged, I just can't take it, it's so funny. But I'm laughing too because I resonate with that. Conversations on listening, they can go that way. I don't know that that is too atypical in our world today. So today, one of the things I want to do is share with you the way that Jesus listened. And I do want to start with one question for you. Is there anyone in your life that makes you feel like no one else exists when you are with them? Is there someone that gives you their absolute full attention and makes you feel truly heard? In the stories today that I'm going to tell you, you're going to see how Jesus listened to those around him. As we delve into the Word of God, we're going to explore how Jesus exemplified listening in his ministry. His actions were not just things of kindness. He brought healing. He brought hope. He brought restoration. We're going to look at three specific encounters. The first one will be the healing of a sick woman, his compassion for a widow who had just lost her only son, and his interaction with blind Bartimaeus. And through these stories, we're going to see how Jesus' listening was an extension of what he came to do. We're going to see how what he did is listening. It highlights all that he was about for the people here and that he did hear, he does hear our greatest and our deepest needs. The first story with the healing of the sick woman, let me read this story to you. It's Mark 5, 25 to 34. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came, fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." So despite seeing doctors, despite spending all that she had, there was nothing she could do for herself. She had a silent cry. She had a silent cry for healing. She longed for the Lord to heal her. She had most likely seen and heard of different miracles that Jesus had already been doing and thought, if I could just touch his cloak, I will be healed. Now, this woman, in her life in society, when you were deemed unclean, that was revolting. Everything around her life would have been one that she probably didn't have hugs from family members or able to stand close to someone, to feel intimately loved and heard. She didn't have those opportunities. Yet, when Jesus healed her, he did not just heal her physical sickness. He didn't just cleanse her body. He cleansed her heart, and he cleansed her soul. Jesus asked, he was interested, he really wanted to know, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples, they were like, "Jesus, come on, man, there's a lot going on here. You know, who knows who in the world it would have been? There's a lot of people here." But Jesus, he persisted. He continued to look around. The action of listening to the silent touch of this woman and calling out to her went totally against the protocol of that day. For a rabbi, they didn't speak to women, not even to their wives. But Jesus was acutely aware of her need. She knew she couldn't go unnoticed. She knew that she had to come forward. She fell at Jesus' feet and she confessed. And Jesus responded with compassion. He called her daughter. Daughter, like you are, you know, that term is reserved for those that we love that are our own. She belonged heart and soul, fully cleaned in Jesus. Jesus listened to her silent cry for physical healing. Jesus listens to the silent cries of our hearts, the deep yearnings that we oftentimes can't even express. So in our stories today, in this first one, we are seeing that Jesus healed the suffering woman. Her cry was silent, and the action that he gave was the healing. In the Gospel of Luke, we encounter a powerful demonstration of Jesus' compassion and his ability to listen to cries of emotional pain of those around him. Luke tells the story like this. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This woman had no source of income. We know she was a widow. We know that she had just lost her son. She would have been desolate. There would not have been a financial future for her. Jesus could sense, he knew the agony, the deep grief and sadness that was within her. Jesus didn't just stop at giving words of comfort. He took action that would transform her life and, of course, the son's life. He just went up and he touched what they were carrying the son on and says to him, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And he sits up and he miraculously talks and he speaks. Can you imagine the joy of the mother? Can you imagine the joy? My son is back. My hope is back, all because of the miraculous power of Jesus. This miraculous act, it wasn't just a display of power, but we see that Jesus listened and he responded with empathy and with action. In the second story, we hear the cry of the grieving widow. The type of cry that she had was a cry of agony. And the action that Jesus performed was that he gave her hope. In the Gospel of Mark, we find another story that illustrates Jesus' willingness to listen to the cries of those who are in need. Mark 10, 46 to 52 recounts for us the story of blind Bartimaeus, a man who sat by the roadside begging as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho. Listen to the story here. "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." When Bartimaeus had heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming, he began to shout. He cried out to God. And despite people in the crowd rebuking him and not wanting him to call out to the Lord, he shouted even louder. Jesus, who is always attuned to the cries of his people, stopped what he was doing and said, "Call him." This simple act of Jesus stopping and calling him demonstrates Jesus' willingness to listen among all the distractions of our life. Cheer up, they said. On your feet, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw that cloak aside, jumped to his feet, and went to Jesus. When Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" That was a compassionate question. He wanted to hear from Bartimaeus, "What do you need? What would you like? What can I do for you?" He understood the specific need that Bartimaeus had. When Bartimaeus said, "Rabbi, I want to see," Jesus told him, "Go. You have been healed." He received his sight, and then he followed Jesus along the road. Jesus, listening to Bartimaeus, shows us his attentiveness, shows us how he carefully listened. He listens to our persistent needs, our needs of healing. He reminds us that true listening requires us to be present. It requires us to ask questions. It requires us to understand what the specific need is of the person who we are listening to. So in this story, the character that we are encountering is blind Bartimaeus, the beggar. His cry is one for healing. And what our Lord offered to him was restoration. Our God grants us healing. He grants us hope, and he grants us restoration. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in a quote of his, says, "The first service that one owes to others in the fellowship consists in listening to them. Just as love to God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them." As a parent, there comes a time in your life where you learn that your children actually teach you more than you will ever teach them. Trey and I had the opportunity to go to Hilton Head with our family just a few weeks ago, and we are empty nesters now. So it's not very often that our whole family is able to get together. And we had just a couple days where every single one in the family was there. We have four children. Three of them have spouses, and then we have two precious grandchildren who are all there. And having listening on my mind, knowing that I was preparing for this sermon, I was being particularly attentive to the way that we were listening to one another. My eldest daughter, Chandler, she truly embodies honesty in her listening. When her siblings speak to her, she's very honest with them. She's very direct. She's straightforward with love and with compassion. She shows us that truth can be compassionate. It can be kind. Chase, our only son, has a fun sense of enthusiasm with his sweet sisters. He's always their cheerleader, championing them on. And his love and excitement and enthusiasm always lifts their spirits and makes them excited and inspires them to be confident in what they're doing. Claire, she brings a beautiful gift of inquiry to listening in our family. She asks questions to better understand what someone else is going through. And the baby of the family, Caroline, our youngest, and gentle soul, she listens with empathy, and she listens with kindness. Her responses are always soft, and they're thoughtful, and they provide comfort and reassurance to our family. They didn't listen well to one another when they were younger. And these are practices, so had we been together 2 or 3 weeks, the listening may not have been quite as beautiful as it was for just a couple days. But these are practices. They're things that we're learning. They're ways that listening can demonstrate our care for one another. My children all have very different gifts and talents. They're learning that listening is not merely about hearing words, but about connecting their hearts together with one another. Honesty, encouragement, inquiry and gentleness creates a harmony in our family and teaches us a deeper way to engage with one another. Above all today, as we learn about how Jesus listens, as we learn how to listen better, we have to acknowledge, we have to recognize that the most profound response of listening that our Savior ever did was when he went to the cross. He went, whether we knew we needed it or not, he heard our need for redemption, and that is why he came. He offered himself as the pathway for us. This gesture, this act, divinely unites us with our Lord and our Savior. He listens to our absolute deepest needs, and he responds with his life for us. So today, think back on that person who makes you feel like no one else exists. When you think of them, think about how they make you feel. Think about ways that you can demonstrate those actions to others. Think about the ways that Christ has shown his listening love for you, whether it was silent, whether it was a cry of anguish, whether it is a cry for healing, and ultimately our cry for redemption. He listens, he hears, and he responds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude, reflecting on the boundless love and compassion you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you listen and respond, healing us, giving us hope, and restoring us. Teach us to listen as Jesus did, with hearts full of empathy and minds ready to respond with kindness and mercy. Help us to be present for those who are suffering, to hear their silent cries, their agony, and their calls for help. Above all, we thank you for Jesus' ultimate act of listening and compassion on the cross, where he responded to our deepest need for salvation and provided the way to eternal life. May we carry this profound truth in our hearts and live out our faith with the same love and dedication that Jesus showed us. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.